Hello and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. I'm Harry Thompson, the editor of USA Hockey Magazine. Today we are joined by ADM regional manager Guy Goslin, who took time out from some meetings that he's in with other ADM regional managers here in Colorado Springs. So we really appreciate Guy taking the time to talk to us. Guy, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Harry.
Well, busy week here in Colorado Springs, not only sitting in boardrooms, but you've also been going around Colorado, Denver, and Colorado Springs and getting on the ice and doing some dry land stuff. How has the week been here in Colorado Springs?
Well, the meetings are the tiring part. We've actually come up with some great ideas in our meetings, a lot of brainstorming going on. But the real reward for us is getting on the ice with the kids, implementing age-appropriate training, and just going out and having fun with the game.
You know, coming out here to Colorado Springs, it's always good to see you, but you must put a lot of miles on the car and in the air and all that stuff in the job that you have now.
Oh, absolutely. I've got the Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska, and Kansas, and it's a pretty large territory, but try to reach out to our local people, and we're actually getting a lot done out in the field. Travel is just part of this job, and I've been doing it for quite some time now, so my wife and kids are used to it. They miss their dad a little bit, but it's part of the territory, and that's the way it is.
And I also want to just make mention that in your free time, so to speak, you also have volunteered to help out the U.S. sled hockey team.
Absolutely. The sled hockey has been very rewarding for me. You got some guys that are great competitors. It's coached essentially the same way. They're proud to be on the national team. They're proud to put on the jersey for USA. And we're just getting geared up here for the Olympics. And, you know, we're going after gold medal.
What's the schedule like lead up to the Paralympics in Sochi, Russia? Do you have a lot of international competitions? Or is it mostly just training to be firing on all cylinders by the time you get there?
A little bit of both. We've got a few tournaments prior to the Olympics. Going up to Toronto here after Thanksgiving. That's always a tough tournament. It's a Four Nations tournament. We'll do some trainings throughout the U.S. and try to get the guys in top-notch condition. It really starts ramping up about 6 weeks prior to the Olympics. We're together a lot during that time period. And like you say, hopefully we'll be hitting on all cylinders.
One of the things I wanted to ask about, you know, I know the ADM regional managers, you're a tight group. You guys all have incredible amounts of experience, but more importantly, you all have the same passion for the game and the passion to really see this American development model through and to really have an impact on youth hockey in the United States. As you sit and talk with your fellow regional managers from other parts of the country, are there some unique issues that you deal with in hockey hotbeds such as North Dakota and Minnesota that maybe somebody who's dealing with the Southeast or the West, maybe they're not dealing with?
Absolutely. It's not uniform across the board. We have different cultures. We have traditional hockey areas. We have non-traditional hockey areas. We have non-traditional hockey areas producing elite hockey players today. We have traditional areas doing the same. We also have traditional areas that have produced great hockey players in the past, and they're not doing such a good job today. And so our job essentially is to go out and educate and implement this long-term athlete development model in all areas of our region. And it's been working great. I've had huge support in my area. The issues that I might be dealing with are maybe some of the old school mentality. But if you do take a look at the numbers and read the information, this long-term athlete development model is really going to help us move forward in the game. We have not done a very good job with our player development in the past compared to numbers across the world. Registered U18 numbers, we're second with 305,000 registered U18 players, second only to Canada, who has 455,000. With that said, you know, Russia's got 58,000. Minnesota's got approximately 46,000. Minnesota's the fourth largest country in the world in regards to registered U18 numbers. They do a great job. They support player development, but we can always get better.
You know, anybody who knows you knows that this isn't your style, but you played hockey at a very high level, including a couple of United States Olympic teams. But when you go into the rink, I mean, does any of that Do people listen to you maybe a little bit more because of where you come from and what you've done, or how does that work?
Well, you know, they always say that the expert's from out of town.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that lends it a little bit of credibility. My playing past absolutely helps me out. I have a pretty diverse background in playing hockey, so I had the opportunity to grow up with Minnesota hockey. I played college hockey at Duluth, was fortunate enough to play on a few national teams and two Olympic teams. I have some background from Europe. I played in Sweden for a couple of years, short time in the NHL, IHL, AHL. So if you take a little bit of that from, you know, your past experiences and really utilize them, I think, you know, there's some knowledge there that we really can tap into. And people honestly are genuinely interested in finding out your background. And I do think it lends it some credibility.
Not only did you play on a lot of these great national teams and Olympic teams, but you also were fortunate enough to have some pretty doggone good coaches along the way. I guess I'll start with, how did some of the messages that they conveyed during the course of coaching you, how have they shaped you in what you're doing today?
You know what? I'll have to go. I mean, several coaches had huge impacts on me. You know, youth coaches, high school coaches. I don't want to get into all the names, but Gene Sack, Mike Sertich, Jeff Sauer along the way. The general message that they came across with, and essentially was selling the American development model 20 or 30 years ago, was the value was in the experience, okay, that you're having. Enjoy the moment, work hard, have fun. Things will evolve for you. Don't try to speed things up. And again, enjoy the sport. If you don't love the sport and you don't have the passion, you are not going to succeed or excel. So take your time and be patient with it.
Those must be good messages for you to pass along today when it comes to long-term athlete development.
Absolutely. You know, the trend in youth sport is early specialization, picking one sport, playing year-round sport, and just, you know, we're trying to create multiple sport athletes today who are going to have enough gas in the tank to really ramp it up when it's time to ramp it up and excel if they so choose. And at that point, when it is time to ramp it up, it's totally up to the athlete, not mom and dad. You know, it's inside that athlete. If they have that drive and desire, you can create any type of player you want to become.
In places that you travel around to, and when I talked about hockey hotbeds, I forgot to mention Wisconsin, which obviously has created some great hockey players over the years. What do you hear? What are you, the supporters of the ADM? What are the things that you hear from them that they like most about the model?
Well, you know, it really utilizes ice time well. We have activity-based practices, station-based practices, where the kids are much more active. You know, in a traditional hockey practice, you're getting 12 to 16 minutes of activity time versus a well-run ADM-style practice, station-based, you're getting about 30 minutes of activity time. So essentially what it comes down to is player development and doing the right things for the kids. And, you know, for the past 30 or 40 years, we've wasted some of this time out on the ice. We as coaches like to talk a little bit too much and teach tactics versus looking at the real important things, which is technical skill building, and that's what we absolutely need to focus on, especially with our younger kids.
And then kind of conversely, I don't want to really get into like what some of the criticisms are, but you know, you've been doing this for a while now. You've been a regional manager for a number of years. What are some of the things that you'd like to see moving forward to really ramp it up and take it to the next level?
Well, I think that we have to get the message across that this is just not red, white, and blue hockey or cross-ice hockey. People need to understand that this is an elite model for all athletes, all-encompassing. And, you know, it's built on sports science, supported by the medical profession. There's many, many national governing bodies that support these, and they've been huge successes. You know, so we need to get that buy-in from people to really look at the materials and read. Don't make an opinion on anything before you actually read the material and can apply it or try to apply it, because this thing works.
you know, you talked about buy-in from other national governing bodies. I know one of the things you've done while you were here in Colorado Springs is met with some of your counterparts from USA Swimming. How did those meetings go, and did you find some kind of common ground or things that, that they learned from you and you learned from them? Or?
Oh, absolutely. Very interesting. Pretty similar numbers. I think that going out and, you know, taking your bags across the U.S. and trying to sell a program and implement things like this, you're all going to be up against some hurdles. Some areas are great and very supportive, and then, you know, some you have to deal with a few bumps in the road. But it was very interesting that there are some huge similarities in player development. You know, essentially an 8-year-old hockey player needs the same thing that an 8-year-old swimmer needs. And we're trying to sell the same thing. It's just packaged a little bit differently. And, you know, I could see in the room that everyone has a passion for sport. And it was pretty rewarding and confirmed some of our beliefs that we're doing the right thing for kids.
And then just finally, Guy, you know, where do you see the ADM going in the near term, long term?
Well, you know, we've been doing this for about 4 years now. We've seen huge changes in retention numbers, in my opinion. I think that we've seen better skilled hockey players. We've seen happier kids out on the ice. We are using age-appropriate training. It's the right thing. I know that everyone outside the U.S. is very aware of what we're doing with our player development, and we're just going to see this thing and through and push forward, and I know we're going to increase the number of elite players, increase the number of hockey players that love the game and have that passion for the game for life.
And that's obviously what it's all about.
Yes, absolutely.
Great. Well, hey, Guy, thanks for taking the time. I know it's been a hectic several days here in Colorado Springs for you, so I appreciate you taking the time and talking to us, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks, Harry.
All right, and thanks everybody out there for listening, and I hope you'll tune in again when we do another USA Hockey Magazine podcast focused on the American development model and how it's helping create better hockey players and more passionate hockey players around the country. So thanks again for listening.